I sometimes feel, I don't know about you, but like my life is like one of those time-lapse images of a city where all the people are, you know, just buzzing around, or, you know, the lights of the cars are all blurry. It's just showing them going round and around the city. Do you ever feel like your life is like that? A little hurried? I think all of us at least have seasons of life that feel like that. Certain moments where our life, it just feels like we're scrambling around, and it's all we can do to survive from morning until the evening of a day. That's the kind of season that Jacob was in when we pick up his story in Genesis 28. Now, Jacob had been scrambling, jockeying for position since birth. We're told he was a twin, and we're told that he was grasping at the heel of his brother Esau as Esau was born, trying to pull himself out first. I imagine that's a story that just tells us a little bit about who Jacob was. And right before Genesis 28, Jacob had swiped his brother's inheritance as the firstborn, had tricked his father into giving him the family blessing. And so now Jacob is hightailing it out of Dodge, trying to get away before he reaps what he's sown. I imagine that his journey, at least those first couple days, kind of felt like a blur, the wilderness blurring by beside him, only able to focus on the next steps in front of him, wondering if his brother was pursuing him, what would be awaiting for him in this next phase of his life, until this moment when he stops. Now, until that moment where he grabs the rock and decides to have a good night's sleep, the Hebrew writer of the story gives us this sense of hurriedness, this sense of anxiety. The story moves quickly, and this and that and this happened, and then that happened, and. But all of a sudden it stops when Jacob picks up that rock. And the writer emphasizes that this place where Jacob has decided to rest for the night is a random place. This is not a hotel. This is not a family member who he's staying with. This is a completely random place where all Jacob wants is to stop and get a good night's rest. But as he falls asleep on this rock, he has this life-changing vision. He realizes that his life and this moment is more than meets the eye, that he sees this ladder or stairway up to heaven and angels coming down and going up on this ladder. He realizes that there is this overlap between heaven and earth, that his life is not just what's visible and right in front of his face, that there is in some way this spiritual realm that is going on all around him. And as he soaks in this vision, all of a sudden someone starts speaking to him, and he realizes that God is right beside him, whispering into his ear these promises that I will bless you, that all of the people of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. These promises that God had made to his grandfather Abraham and to his father Isaac, he is now making to Jacob, undeserving, deceptive Jacob. When he wakes up, he's afraid, he's disturbed. He has this common experience of anyone who has stood in the presence of God, because when our lives, when we kind of get a God's eye view of our lives in proximity to the divine, there's something really intimidating and disruptive about that. And Jacob makes this promise back to God. And from here on out, Jacob's life is never quite the same again. These stories are our stories. I think many of us can identify with Jacob in some ways. Maybe you have said at some point, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't even know it. Some random moment in your life, where you were doing everything but looking for God, and somehow God just showed up. I think this is a common experience of God's people because we, like Jacob, are scramblers. We scramble around trying to manage life and figure out what to do next. I had a professor in seminary who writes this about Adam and Eve and all who came after them. He says, Adam and Eve are moved in Genesis 3 after they sin to scrambling. That is, scurrying about, trying desperately to handle themselves, each other, God, and the world. There is absolutely no rest here. They are in a panic, and when people are in a panic, they really do not care about anyone else. Others get ignored or even run over. Does that sound familiar? Ever have moments in your life of scrambling like that? He goes on. So what we end up with is a bunch of scramblers bouncing off each other, scrambling, doing damage to one another in the process. This is reality. Some people learn to scramble in more acceptable ways than others. But we all scramble. In fact, each one of us develops a characteristic way of scrambling, a manner of scrambling that has been hammered out on the anvil of our own personal experiences in life. How do you scramble? What does your scrambling look at? How do you, as Dr. Averbeck says, how do you scurry about trying desperately to handle yourself and other people and God and the world? What does that look like? Does it look like working all the time? Or avoiding responsibility and relationships? Does it look like pouring yourself into one thing and putting all your eggs in the basket of success or money or fame? What does your scrambling look like? How do you try to desperately handle life? You see, scrambling often keeps us then from seeing and realizing the overlap of heaven and earth, of God's realm and ours. Scrambling makes us forget that our lives are more than just what we can see, hear, taste, touch, smell, measure, count. Everything we do, everything we think, everything we choose is spiritual. And it impacts our souls and the souls of people around us. And that, our scrambling and our failure to realize how heaven and earth overlap and are connected and intertwined, that's why God has to show up in unexpected places. I feel like most of God's life is spent waiting for us to come to a moment where we grab a rock and say, I can't scramble anymore. And then God shows up. Paul says to us, so if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, Paul is not saying, and the writer of Genesis is not saying, that heaven is geographically above and earth is geographically below. He's saying that there are ways of looking at life that reduce life to what we can see and taste and hear and touch and smell and measure. There's another way to live life where we see and understand that heaven is open, that God has drawn near, and that the Spirit of God is just waiting to show up in the most random places. If we will simply stop scrambling for a moment. Allow God to open up our eyes and whisper in our ears his promises, that we might just for a moment pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, Jacob names this place, this random place in the wilderness, Bethel, which means in Hebrew, house of God. Now, when we say house of God, we're often talking about a church building, a place where we expect to come at a certain time of the week and experience God's presence. But Jacob uses house of God to describe this random, unexpected place where his scrambling stops and God shows up. This is his house of God, his Bethel. Where will your Bethel be this week? Where and when will you stop your scrambling and remember that God has drawn near to us in Jesus Christ? Will it be in bed with your toddler or your grandchild as you pray with them before sleep? Will it be on your neighbor's porch where you take over the roses that you've been working on so that you can bless them with them? Might it be in a restaurant where you pick up someone else's tab or have them pick up yours to your surprise? Will it be at the office where you take a coworker aside and say, how are you really doing? What's really going on? Will it be on your back porch as you open up the scriptures early in the morning and realize that God is speaking to you? Those words are for you. And these are just some of the stories I heard last week about God showing up in unexpected places in your life, your lives and mine. This week I have a couple opportunities for you or suggestions for you in your 3G plan. One of them is to just go people watching. Go to the mall, go to the park, go somewhere, and just watch people and ask, how might God be showing up in their life today, right now? Another one is to see how you might be the unexpected place where God shows up for someone else. How God might be speaking words of comfort and hope and encouragement through you, so that someone else says, surely God is in this place, and I didn't know it. But the hope and prayer ultimately is that the more we journey, the more we say, surely God is in this place. And the more people around us, because they are in our presence and because Christ's presence is in us, realize that God is in this place as well. Let's pray. Loving and gracious God who shows up in unexpected places, help us to be a little more expectant, a little more aware of the ways heaven is open and bringing your divine life, the life of Christ, to bear on this world all around us. Open our eyes, speak into our ears, and help us to more fully experience your presence and others to experience your presence through us this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.